We hear in Paul's second reading today, Christ loved us and handed himself over for us as a sacrificial offering to God for a fragrant aroma. These last number of weeks in the Gospels, we've been moving through John 6 of the Gospel of John, commonly known as the Bread of Life Discourse, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that Jesus is giving this discourse in the midst of a Passover context. The Passover, that this bread of life that Jesus is putting forward, that he then institutes at the Last Supper, that he says, this is my body and this is my blood, that this becomes our new Passover. And this Passover meal, the memorial, that in the Jewish mindset, the memorial of the Passover meal, this memorial meal, wasn't just a memorial as we understand it, as in remembering of things long ago, but that this memorial makes present the things that are remembered. So for the Jews, to celebrate the Passover meal was not just to remember the saving works of God, but would make present his saving power again. God's work of taking the Israelite people, saving them that death would pass over them, freeing them from slavery, bringing them through the Red Sea, through the wilderness, in the desert, into the Promised Land. That whole movement of salvation and deliverance is made present again, and they are made spiritual participants of God's salvation. And so, with the new Passover, the same thing. That Jesus gives us this new Passover, and in this bread of life discourse, begins to associate this bread of life with his own sacrifice. His own crucifixion, his dying on the cross, the giving of his life to save us. And that somehow this remembering this bread of life makes present that saving power once again. So when we gather here to celebrate the Eucharist, this Eucharistic worship, it's not just a gathering together and having a symbolic meal together to remember, because that's a piece of it, but it makes present and is connected and brings us to the saving power of Christ on the cross, of Christ crucified, who gives his life for us. That we become spiritual participants in that moment at the foot of the cross with Christ, and his saving power on the cross is made present to us. And this Jesus dying on the cross, that for that moment, it was Jesus' perfect offering of praise and worship to God. Because it was Jesus giving himself to God the Father totally, completely, and unreservedly. That he offers himself as a sacrifice. Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit, he says. And so that moment of crucifixion then becomes not only a historical moment, though it is certainly that, but it becomes the symbol of the eternal offering, the eternal self-offering of Jesus Christ to God the Father for all eternity in a perfect and complete and unreserved way, a total outpouring of love. It's very significant that Jesus bore those wounds into his resurrection, that even when he was resurrected, he bore the wounds of his sacrifice, and then ascended into heaven and bore those wounds up into heaven because it's the sign of his eternal self-offering to God the Father. That's why, by the way, many times in Catholic churches we'll have crucifixes, whether in the processional or up front. Not because we're denying the resurrection, but because the moment of the crucifixion becomes not only a historical symbol, but of the symbol of Christ's eternal self-offering to God the Father. So what does that have to do with us? Well, everything. That Jesus, in his sacrifice on the cross, intentionally wants to draw us into that perfect self-offering to God the Father. That we are drawn into that exactly because he enters into our humanity. That through the incarnation, he then uses our broken humanity, our sinful, fallen humanity, to then offer himself totally and completely to God the Father. and draws our humanity along with that. That sometimes I think we have this idea in our lives that, or this perception that prayer and church and Mass and God and such are here, but then the rest of my life, real life, is over here. And I guess we go to church every once in a while, but the two never exactly meet. But that's not at all what Christianity is about. What Jesus came and entering into our humanity is to draw everything in our lives into this. His divine life would imbue everything we are and everything we have and everything we do. And that we're then to bring that all here and offer it with that perfect offering of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because we need him to offer for us and with us. We make this offering through him, with him, and in him. Because, let's face it, we are broken and sinful, and at times inclined to selfishness and insecurities and sinfulness. But it's exactly taking that imperfect offering, that imperfect worship that we do, and putting it up there with Jesus Christ on the cross that is offered up with him and makes it perfect. The perfect sacrifice of praise, the perfect offering of worship. To illustrate this a little more, I want to share a story about a marathon team. A pair who ran marathons together, known as Team Hoyt. So Rick Hoyt was born with severe cerebral palsy that left him very severely physically handicapped, that he was bound to a wheelchair for his whole life. And when he was born, people told his father, "Why do you even bother with him? You should just put him in an institution. He's not going to be anything but a vegetable the rest of his life." But of course, his father made the decision that, no, I'm going to love him. He is my son. I'm going to bring him home and care for him and love him as my son. So he brings his son home and raises him and loves him. And into his early adulthood, this son, Rick, says to his father, "Dad, I want to run a marathon." Of course, he knows his son can't run. He's bound to a wheelchair. But he doesn't say that. Instead, he says to his son, "Yes, you'll run a marathon. If you want to do it, we'll make it happen." So this middle-aged father in his 50s began to go out every day training for a marathon, putting his son in his wheelchair and pushing him and running a little further each day. Till one day, then they ran in a marathon together, and then in the Boston Marathon. And then for the next 30 years, they began running marathons together, that he was always pushing his son in the race. And once someone pointed out to him, you know, to the father, "You could probably run a lot faster if you weren't pushing your son." But he said, "No, it's my son who's running these marathons, and I can't do it without him." And they became an inspiration to so many people. And I share that story because I think Christ's sacrifice on the cross is exactly that, the way that he draws us in. That where we're trying to get to, we see the God in heaven that we're trying to get to. Heaven's our goal, and we're trying to run there, but we know we can't get there on our own. That God knows we can't get there on our own. So what does he do? He comes down and runs with us to God the Father, pushing us along, pulling us along to God the Father. And that's what we're drawn up into every time we come here to worship. Every time we participate in the Eucharist, this Eucharistic worship, is being drawn up into that, to offer authentic worship to God. But authentic worship also includes, as I said, bringing everything in our lives before God. Not just the good stuff, but everything. On Friday, I just had a young man share his story with me. His name is Mark. And he shared with me that he had this older brother who was a seminarian, who joined the seminary, was studying to become a priest, and was such an inspiration in his life that He was studying to become a priest, and he was so inspired by the way he gave his life for others, for God, and was living for something so much more than himself. But one day, Mark gets a call that his brother was rushed to the hospital. And it turned out that his brother had a rare form of brain cancer and only had months to live. And of course, as he's watching his brother suffer, and then his brother eventually passes away, he had all this anger towards God. God, why would you let this happen? God, why would you allow such a good man to suffer? Why is this pain? And then he says at the funeral, he goes to the funeral. And then at the funeral, he has this little phrase run through his head. This prayer. God, I ask not that you take away the pain, but that I worship you in my pain. God, I ask not that you take away the pain, but that I worship you in the pain. And when that phrase went through his head, the first thing he thought was, no, I don't want to pray that. I'm angry with you, God. I don't want to worship you. But that phrase kept nagging at him. God, I ask not that you take away the pain, but that I worship you in the pain. And finally, he gave in and he prayed that prayer. God, I ask not that you take away the pain, but that I worship you in the pain. And he said in that moment, there was something broke open in him. There was this transformation in him. Not that the pain was gone. The pain was still there, but then there was also this wave of peace. And he said, for the first time in my life, I knew what it meant to pray authentically, to worship authentically. And as he said, to real, true, authentic worship is to allow our hearts to be vulnerable before God. To allow our hearts to be vulnerable before him. To open them up and pour out everything to him. To this God who enters into our pain in the incarnation, who enters into our human brokenness and bears it up on the cross to God the Father, who runs with us to the Father. So maybe we're at that place in our life where we say, Lord, I don't understand why this is happening. Lord, I'm angry with you. Lord, I'm hurt. Lord, I don't understand. But then we ask, Lord, take all of it. We offer it here in worship as our authentic worship into the hands of Christ, who offered himself for us as sacrifice, who perfects our sacrifice, who brings it all to God the Father here in the Eucharist. He is our bread of life. So let us offer everything to him in this worship as he runs with us to God the Father.